Hey guys, I just want to welcome you to the podcast, and hey, let's do something different. Let's start out with some music. Going on, guys. Hey, I hope you enjoyed that classic song. I want to welcome you to the podcast. Today we're going to be talking about being stuck. You may be physically stuck in your house right now, and so this is a topic I think is super relevant. And I invited one of my really good friends to come on and talk to you guys about it. I'm going to let him introduce himself and we'll get started.
Hey guys, excited to be with you. My name is Abe Maynor. I am the high school minister at Wildwood Community Church. That may be familiar to you because I was going to come hang out with you at spring retreat. RIP. But, you know, someday I'll come get to be with you. But Norman, Oklahoma, they are obsessive about their football. That was one of the craziest things about living in Norman. We've lived here about a year and a half, still trying to learn and not be scared by all the boomer sooner action that happens. But married, my wife Corey and I have been married for 4 years. We have a three-month-old named Eleanor. Big news, just this last week, she started laughing at me when I do stuff. And so I fully anticipate that she will continue to laugh at me for the rest of my life, but this is the beginning. And then a dog, Luna, our golden doodle, who is incredibly jealous that she does not get as much attention as she used to, but she'll get over it.
Yeah, because she used to get a lot of attention.
I mean, she was the spoiled rotten. Well, she is still spoiled rotten. It's just, she is spoiled rotten on her own now. But yeah, so we love getting to work with teenagers, work with high school students. Corey, I've known you for a long time.
Yeah, so long that I can't remember how long.
Yeah, it was, so we met in college. We served together at our campus ministry. We created the National Dunk Ball Association together and yes, dominated almost all of the tournaments.
I think we only lost one tournament.
Right. But that was mostly because we were really good at recruiting people who were great at dunk ball.
Mainly we recruited one tall person.
Right.
That was my one good attribute to the team. I didn't bring much of anything else, but other than recruiting.
Hey, you had a mean pick and roll.
I did have a mean pick and roll and the Dirk fade.
That's right. That's right. So if you guys ever want to really challenge Corey on his home court, lower a goal to about eight and a half feet, and make dunks 3 points.
Yes.
And then you'll see the true abilities of Corey Gillespie.
I mean, we were so legit. We had like souvenirs. We had stickers and right. like little mini basketballs.
Yes.
I mean, we were legit.
We had jerseys.
We did have jerseys.
I mean, we bought clearance jerseys of the NBA store. 76 players who didn't play for the 76ers anymore.
Yeah. Who did you had Holiday?
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I still have mine. I don't remember who I had.
Evan Turner, I think.
Evan Turner, I think that's right.
And then we had a Thaddeus Young jersey.
Yeah, I think I had Thaddeus Young.
Okay. Okay.
Just because I felt like I was Thaddeus Young. Short, too short for the NBA and very wide.
Oh man, good times. Good times.
So many good times. Oh man.
Yeah.
The prime days.
But, I know. It'd be embarrassing to try now.
Well, let's get moving on to something, you know, beneficial to the students that are listening.
For sure.
Last week we talked about worship. We talked about how, you know, during this time of like quarantine and stay at home orders, that this is a perfect time to get kind of into a routine of home worship, whether it's at home with your family or on your own, finding a way to worship that's kind of unique to you.
Yeah.
I talked a lot last week about how I'm a firm believer that God has created each one of us unique, and he's also established us with a way to worship him uniquely that's our own. And Justin and I talked a lot about kind of some different ways that, you know, maybe students who like music or walking or going outside or whatever, just find some ways on, you know. For me during this time, I mean, just during last week, that's been super beneficial to me, just to remembering the importance of worship, you know, because it's easy to just to, you know, with all of this, you know, only being able to go to like one or two places,
right?
Kind of getting really just in a routine of not doing the things that outside of COVID-19 pandemic, whatever, that I was doing normally. It's yeah. like, oh, I've got plenty of time. I can do that later. It's yeah. like, which is true, but then I just find myself on the PlayStation playing NBA 2K or something like that. You know, but so that's what we talked about this week. And I think, last week, but this week I kind of want to talk. I want to talk about this feeling of being stuck. Yeah. I think even though we're not physically stuck, I mean, we can move around and do things, but I mean, this idea that, you know, we're limited in the movements that we can do and just feeling alone and all of that other thing. So, I guess, so Abe, tell us a story. I mean, do you have a story about a time when you felt stuck, either physically, mentally, emotionally?
Yeah. Yeah. So this has very little spiritual value, but it was probably one of the most embarrassing moments of my life. So it was winter, a classic Kansas winter night where it was snowing. We had like 3 inches on the ground and it was still coming down pretty fast. I was part of a snow removal team. So I'd gone to where we were going to meet, get ready to start pushing that snow around from where God had put it. So I get out of my car, or I head up to where we have our equipment. And for whatever reason, I had to go pick my sister up. So I head back to my car, but by this point my car is covered in snow. And so I turn on the car and start cleaning off the snow off of my car, only to find that I had turned on my car and locked the doors. So my car is running in this parking lot in the middle. It was like 9 o'clock at night in the middle of a snowstorm. The spare keys are at my parents' house 20 minutes away. So I make a phone call. Hey, so I'm going to need one of you to come like let me into the car that is running in this parking lot. So my mom hops in the car, is heading toward where I'm at. She ends up sliding off the road into a ditch and getting stuck herself. And now my sister, I think she had a basketball game or something. Now my sister is stranded waiting for somebody to come pick her up. But I'm stuck with a car that's running. My mom is stuck in a ditch because I locked the keys in my car. I mean, the benefit was that my car was very defrosted at this point. But it was a really awful moment where like I had just done so many things in that moment that led to not just me being stuck, but multiple of my family members literally being stuck in place with no options. And my mom ended up making it to me, but after like a guy with a big truck had come and pulled our van out of the ditch that she had slid into. And so anyway, I think we made it out of there at like 11 o'clock, but it was, when I think of being stuck, it was like, not just me stuck, but me messing up so that I was stuck and making it so other people were stuck. It was a crazy time.
I mean, you remember the big red truck I had where I would literally get stuck at least once a week somewhere because that thing would die somewhere.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I totally understand that feeling.
Yeah.
And so I think this idea of being stuck and feeling stuck, I think is something that I think a lot of people are dealing with because it's like, they can't go anywhere. I mean, they can't work. Yeah. They can't go to school. Which I mean, I think at this point, if I was your guys' age, not being able to school would probably be the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it's like, where all your friends are.
Yeah, and you get away from your parents.
Right.
And you get halfway decent food sometimes. Just depends on the day. If it's chicken sandwich day, then it's always good. But yeah, so I mean that'd be the hardest part for me if I was, you know, in high school was not being able to go to school, you know, having to be at home all of the time. But I think as I was getting ready for this and kind of looking at like, okay, what am I going to talk with Abe about? What am I going to talk with Abe about? I was like, I'm reading and it's like, let's talk about getting stuck. I was like, what does the Bible have to say about being stuck? And I was like, it can't say very much. And I was like, oh, there's actually a lot. I mean, Paul literally spends most of the New Testament stuck in prison.
Yeah.
Either in a cell or tied to somebody else or tied to two people and making someone else do the writing for him,
right.
Which I think is always hilarious. It's like, hey, write this down. I wish
write this sentence that is three paragraphs long for me.
That's a short Paul sentence. but we think about how the Israelites were stuck in the wilderness for 40 years.
Yeah.
For 40 years. I think the number one thing I've thought about was, I think this is probably the worst thing ever, is Jonah getting stuck in a fish.
Right. In the belly. Yeah.
I mean, I don't like the smell of fish, like whatsoever. I don't mind eating fish. I mean, I think going to Alaska and eating fish from Alaska has ruined me with fish for the rest of my life because literally it's like you catch the fish that morning at 9 a.m. and then by noon you've already eaten that entire fish within a 3-hour span. And so that's totally ruined me. Like so it's hard for me to eat fish now, especially living in the middle of Kansas.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine living inside of a fish for any period of time, let alone a couple days.
Yeah. A living fish that is like traveling through the sea.
And it's probably wild. And it's probably eating. And so you've got all of this stuff that's going on.
Yeah.
But and it's funny because it's like, as I'm thinking about that, I remember that Jonah got himself into that situation.
Right. Right.
Because Jonah was, how do I put this lightly? Didn't use his brain.
Yeah. Because, yeah, there was a lot of fear.
Yeah. I mean, he tried to run away. He thought, God's like, hey, I want you to go to Nineveh. And he's like, no, I'm just going to run away to a different town. Maybe that'll get me away from God. Sure. Nope, didn't really work. And he's like, oh, man, I don't think God works on the water. And so he gets a boat, and he's like, God's like, nope. And the funniest part is that then he goes down after God tries to speak to him while he's on the boat. He goes underneath into the cabin area, and it's like, God can't work here. God can't work literally under the water. And it's like, wow. Like, Jonah got himself stuck in that fish. And I think that's important to kind of see, is that the Bible talks about getting stuck and all of those other things.
Right.
So how do you think, looking at those stories and thinking about those stories, is like, is there one that you like, you're like, hey, that, I mean, for me, it's like, I always recognize the Jonah or the Israelites. 'Cause I mean, those people get themselves stuck.
Yeah.
I mean, but Paul never got himself stuck. There was always a reason. I mean, there was always a bad reason why he was in prison.
Yeah.
But I mean, he made so much out of it.
Yeah. It's interesting to think through that differentiation of like times when we can put ourselves in a place where we feel stuck versus times where maybe the circumstances or the Lord is teaching us something, or like we can be stuck just outside of our own control. Like going back to that story of having the car running in the parking lot during a snowstorm, that moment of being stuck was completely my doing. But I also think back to like times in my life. So like I spent probably the first few years of high school just kind of, I was living the Christian life, but it was Sunday morning, it was Wednesday nights. Like I was part of the things that I should have been a part of, but outside of that, it didn't mean anything. And like spiritually I was stuck, but that was because of my own doing, because I wasn't actively in pursuit of who Christ was and what that meant for me. And so it's interesting to think about those stories. Like you have Jonah, who that was totally his own doing, where God says, hey, I've got a message for these people in Nineveh. And he's like, yeah, no, dude. And just over and over in that story, how he gets himself stuck, even when he places himself, like, so he makes it to Nineveh, calls for them to repent. I may be ruining something further down the line for you, but, oh, I don't care. But calls them to repent, and then they do, and he's mad. And so he goes and sticks himself on a hill underneath this like weed tree thing, and just is like, okay, God, I'm going to wait here. I'm going to place myself in a position where I'm stuck. I'm stuck emotionally. I'm stuck mentally. I'm stuck in my faith, because I don't want you to, I don't want you to forgive these people.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about how we can find ourselves in both of those positions, where sometimes we're stuck because of our own actions or our own lack of action. Other times we're stuck, like COVID-19 has us stuck, and it's not because of anything we've done, but is a reality of the space we're in. And so what is it that the Lord can teach us in this time of being stuck in that way, utilizing this to not just be stagnant, but to grow?
Yeah, I think. And then, I mean, still looking at that story of Jonah, I mean, when he gets himself out of the well, I think it's important to see how he does get out of the well, out of the way, you know, fish, whale, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I mean, I don't think there's any microbiologists listening, but they're the same thing in my book. But I mean, what does he do? He calls out to God. And cries out to God about him being stuck, and says, you know, hey, I'll do what you want. I'll do what you say. But I mean, there's his cry. I think is pretty interesting, because yeah. I mean, when he gets himself stuck, I mean, he does probably wallow in some sorrow for a couple of days.
Yeah.
But I mean, in the end, he cries out to God and is saying, hey, it's like, I know I got myself stuck in here, but it's like, I know that you're the only one that can get me out of this.
Yeah.
And so. Yeah.
And then what happens? The fish vomits him up, like, and says, okay, here you go. Now go ahead and head to Nineveh. The fish didn't say that. But like where again, we see that the Lord, he provided a way for Jonah to be unstuck.
Yeah.
And I think even when I look back at my time in high school, I see that. So here I am, like, coasting, just kind of like living the life I want to live and making it look like I'm living by faith. And then my late junior year, my youth pastor grabbed me and was like, hey, would you want to get together sometime? And through getting, like, sitting down with him, having conversations with him, getting to process things with him, recognizing that I was stuck, because I don't even know that I fully knew that I was stuck in that moment. And then through his guidance and through having somebody care, I was able to, like, work into what does it mean to have faith of my own and not just be stuck in this, in the motions. And so it's cool to see how, like, God provides ways for us to challenge our stuckness.
Is that a word?
It is now.
I think we just made up another word, but
yeah.
But I think that's important. And then especially when we see that Jonah, I mean, he got himself stuck. But yeah. I think there's another passage that I think I want to look at. I mean, it's the story of Joseph.
Yeah.
And how he didn't get himself stuck. He was put into a situation where he was stuck, not of his own doing. I mean, we see that. I mean, Jonah, I mean, if you want a little bit of background, if you've never heard the story of Jonah, I mean, Joseph. I can't talk today. It's rough. But
I mean, this is just an audio format, so
yeah. So I mean, Joseph was the youngest brother of all of his siblings. I mean, that would make sense because he's the youngest. But I mean, he had quite a bit of them. He had a bunch of older brothers, and he had a dream that revealed, you know, that one day all of his father and all of his brothers would bow down to him. Now, if I was the youngest, which I'm not, I am the oldest.
Yeah, you and me both.
Thank the Lord. If I was the youngest, I don't think I would tell my older siblings that, hey, one day you're going to bow down to me.
Right.
That is a recipe for destruction. Yeah. I don't know how he thought, this would be just a great idea. Here, let me tell my oldest brother that, hey, one day you're going to bow down to me. That probably wasn't, as we look, I mean, I always have fun looking back. It's like, what were they thinking? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think, but he told his brothers that. And what do his brothers do? I mean, they throw him in a pit, first of all. I mean, that in and of itself doesn't sound like fun. And then they tried to kill him. Well, they planned to kill him.
Yeah. Which,
I mean, things escalate very quickly in that story. I mean, they go from zero to 100 real fast.
Right.
But I mean, they end up changing their minds. He gets sold into slavery. You know, he finds himself in Egypt in slavery, you know. And what's funny is that even in the slavery, when that Joseph's in, he's doing everything right. Like, he's doing everything to his best ability. People are noticing. I mean, when you're a slave in Egypt and you get noticed for being, you know, hardworking and doing everything right, you're pretty high up there. And so, I mean, somebody says, hey, I kind of like you, you know, I'm going to buy you. And his owner, Potiphar, I mean, he's promoted to the head of Potiphar's house, which,
yeah,
I mean, that's, I don't know what to equivalate that to nowadays, but I mean,
it'd probably be like, being the assistant manager of something.
Yeah.
But
assistant to the regional manager?
Or not assistant, assistant.
Assistant.
Assistant regional manager. Yeah, okay. Not to the. That's how big a deal it was.
Yeah, and so, I mean, this is a big deal. And Potiphar trusts him, I mean, with his entire house. And
yeah.
Potiphar basically says, hey, nothing is off limits to you, Joseph, except for one thing. I mean, and this is a normal thing to not cross the line of.
Yeah.
And Potiphar's like, hey, just, you know, don't talk to my wife. My wife is off limits. And it's like, that's a pretty normal thing. And Joseph's like, okay, that's really no problem whatsoever. But apparently Potiphar's wife didn't get that message that, you know, she was off limits to Joseph. Right. And we kind of read about this whole, I mean, situation between Joseph and Potiphar's wife where, you know, she wanted to be intimate with him, but she turned him away multiple times. And the last time is kind of where we're kind of reading. And it's this, you know, she gets so angry that he is not, you know, accepting her advances, I guess is the correct terminology. She literally rips his robe off and he runs away.
Yeah.
And her being, you know, all maniacal and evil and, you know, cunning, I guess is the correct word. She's like, oh, I got his robe. I can use this. But I kind of want to read a little bit in Genesis 39, 19 through 23. It says, when his master heard the story his wife told him, these are the things your slave did to me. He was furious, and he had him thrown into prison where the king's prisoners were confined. So Joseph was there in prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him. He granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. The warden put all of the prisoners who were in the prison under Joseph's authority, and he was responsible for everything that was done there. The warden did not bother with anything under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with him, and the Lord made everything that he did successful. Mm. And so, I love that passage mainly because Joseph is stuck. He's stuck in prison.
Yeah.
Not of his own doing. I mean, he didn't choose to be in prison. I don't think anybody is going to choose to be in prison.
Right.
And so, but it's funny because even in prison, he rises the ranks very quickly. Mm-hmm. Yet, I don't think being the warden's number one helper is something that I want to strive for.
Right. It's not a life goal.
Yes. No, not at all. But I mean, it's just funny to see even Joseph is confined. What is he doing in prison? He's rising the ranks, not of his own doing, but I mean, it talks about it in verse 21 and 23, talks about how God was with him.
Yeah.
And I think that's important to kind of remember and understand is that God was with him even in this time of being stuck in prison.
Right. Yeah. Stuck because somebody had lied about him, like had pulled him into a moment that he wasn't willing to be a part of and then lied about him. And yeah, verse 21 is so good, but the Lord was with Joseph in the prison and showed him his faithful love. And that's like, that should be an encouragement to all of us. Like as we think about being stuck, as we think about moments in our lives or areas of our life that we're stuck, like here's a man. And it's just clearly said the Lord was with him. Even in prison, the Lord was with Joseph. That's just so cool.
Yeah, and I think it's important to remember is that even though we're not physically stuck because of COVID-19, but I mean we're stuck in our homes.
Yeah.
And when we get stuck, sometimes we get stuck in other places. I think either like emotionally or mentally, or maybe we get stuck in some sort of sin or something like that. Yeah. Even in those times, I think it's important to remember that God is with us. I mean, even in those times when we feel like, you know, we can't get out of this, like the sin that we're in is like too overwhelming, that there's no way we can get out of it. I mean, whatever it is, when we get stuck, we can get pretty overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I mean, and we can feel defeated. I mean, whether we're stuck at home or we're not stuck at home, or, you know, or we're stuck in some sort of sin or emotionally, but we kind of feel like we're just not stuck for now, but we're stuck for good. Like mm-hmm. we can't get out of this pattern of sin or whatever. So, I mean, I think that's important to remember, is that even in those types of, I guess, those varieties of stuckness, that's a word.
Yeah.
But that God is still going to be with us through those, even though we've been stuck in those things for a long time. Even before this whole stay at home thing, we were stuck in something.
Yeah.
And maybe it's just gotten worse because we're stuck at home.
Right.
Yeah,
it'd be so easy in this time to even just get stuck in laziness, you know, like just to get stuck in being passive, to not be active in our faith or active about caring for the people around us, or instead of being active. I know that for me, it's super, the temptation is super strong to just be slothful, to be lazy, to like, you know, that stuff will get done sometime. I've got plenty of time now to do it. But that's a way of getting stuck, is we can get stuck even in our own laziness. And so just like this picture of Joseph is great for that, even where he was stuck, but he didn't allow it to be stuck for it, for things that he had done. He was stuck because it was a part of God's story. It was part of God's plan. And I think we can have a tendency to get ourselves stuck instead of pursuing God and allowing the times when we get stuck to be like Paul or to be like Joseph, where that's a part of God growing us and moving us.
Yeah, because I think, I mean, especially this time when we're at home, we have the ability to, I mean, we have all of this free time to do things.
Yeah.
This could be a time where we're really diving into our faith, journey.
For sure.
To kind of see, okay, God, what do you want me to learn during this? What do you want to show me? What are the things? Because it can be easy just to say, I'm not going to Wednesday nights. I'm not going to Sundays, you know,
right.
You know, I can just watch it on TV, listen to it on YouTube or podcasts or whatever. It's like, I can do that. Not really pay attention. And we just get this, we get in this routine of just, yeah, like you said, being lazy, not only physically, but I think spiritually as well. You just get lazy because we're stuck.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting to look at Joseph's story. So he's in prison, then like this moment where the Lord, tells him what these dreams mean from these other prisoners. And that, like, one thing after another, that ends up leading to him he rises in the ranks to second in command to Pharaoh in Egypt. So, like, not just second in command in a household, but in the whole country. And, like, a bunch of things happen, but his brothers end up coming back to Egypt. And right at the end of the book, he is reconciling his relationship with his brother. So he's had all these years of being stuck. And then he's talking to his brothers who are worried that Joseph's going to be like resentful or angry at them. And this is Genesis 50, verse 19 and 20. But Joseph replied, "Don't be afraid of me. Am I God that I can punish you? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so that I could save the lives of many people. So there'd been like this huge famine, and his brothers and the people of Egypt and the people of the region were saved because of the position that God put Joseph in. But that was Joseph's attitude. It was always, how is the Lord using this moment? How is the Lord using me? And that prevented him from ever actually being stuck. Mm-hmm. Even when he was in a pit, even when he was in prison, even when he was like a slave.
Because there's a bunch of opportunities for him to say, hey, I'm done, I'm out, I'm in this place, you know, I didn't do anything wrong. It's like,
right,
you know,
right.
And it would be easy for him to say, hey, you know, I'm not ready to die because of my brothers, but it's like, I'm done. Or it's like, hey, I'm in slavery. It's like, for doing nothing, for just telling a dream.
Yeah.
And it's like, I get stuck in prison and it's like, okay, I didn't do anything wrong again.
Right.
And it's like, and I think that's important to see is that he kept trusting in God and having faith in God that, you know, the things that God was going to use him for were still going to happen, even when the world around him is absolutely bonkers.
Right.
I think that's important to also see and remember is that, like, you know, kind of before all of this, that maybe God was working in your life and then you get stuck at home and, you know, you're just stuck and, you know, and so, I mean.
Yeah. He could have also been stuck in anger. You know, like to his brothers, he could have been stuck in just being angry and not forgiving them. But we see that even his pursuit of the Lord allowed him to have the perspective of saying, it's not my job to be mad at you because look what the Lord has done. And so there's times where we can even be stuck in anger, and that could probably be seen more clearly now that we're stuck at home. Like, you talk about little siblings. Like, I am sure that if I was in high school, in middle school, and stuck at home, I have three younger sisters, and if I was stuck at home with them for weeks on end with no end in sight, like, it would be so hard to not just be mad at them all the time. And that would be a way that I would be stuck, is instead of having an attitude of thankfulness and mercy and grace, because that's the example of Christ, having an attitude of anger and vengeance, like just negative things, sinful things. But that's not at all what we see in the life of Joseph.
Yeah. I mean, especially now, it's like, even if you're just at home, I mean, you can get angry just for staying at home for too long. It's like, hey, I want to go do something. It's like, I want to go to the movies. I want to watch movies. It's like, or it's like, I want to go see my friends. It's like, I want to do these things, but it's like, I can't. So it just gets me angry.
Yeah.
I think that'd be something for me. It's like, that's something I've had to deal with personally. It's like, I can't go do things. It's like, as you know, I'm very independent, and it's like, I do what I want when I want, because it's like, I have that ability. It's like, now it's like, I can't, for the longest time, I couldn't go golfing, and that was hard for me. And it's like, I was angry because it's like, I can't go outside. It's like, I can't go watch movies. It's like, I love going to watch movies by myself, which I know is weird. I know it's weird, but hey,
it is what you are.
It's okay. But it's like let's be honest. We're going to miss one of what I think is probably going to be one of the next great Marvel films in Black Widow because of this. But I mean, and that can be a point of anger, but wallowing in that anger is not going to do it. It's not going to be good for anything, especially for my, especially for myself.
Yeah.
I'm going, I mean, and if I was in Joseph's shoes, I was like holding onto that anger for so long because, and then, I mean, at the end of the, at the end of his story, he had the opportunity to, you know, hey, it's like, I could be really nice to my brothers. I can give them food and get all this other stuff. Or he could have held all that anger in for so long,
right,
even though in the long run, everything worked out for his good.
Yeah.
He could have said, nah, you remember that time you threw me in a pit and tried to kill me, but ended up, it's like, I'm not going to give you any food. Go away.
Right.
I mean, and so, I mean, and wallowing in anger could have, I mean, that could, that's not going to be beneficial for anybody. And I think for surely for yourself, I mean, myself, I mean, just being at home stuck, I mean, it's going to bring up some, it's going to bring up some things.
Yeah. There's so many, ways that we can find ourselves stuck. Like it's not just a physical thing, but we could, it can be so easy to just all of a sudden something happens and you find yourself in an attitude where you're stuck or your heart is stuck. And I think that's where we have to rely on the Lord. And this maybe takes us to our next point, like the next thing that we're going to talk through, but just like to step into that process of finding ways to get unstuck. I think we have to find that in the Lord, just like Joseph did. He relied on the Lord. He knew that the Lord was close to him and showing love to him, even when he was in prison, even when he was in a pit, even. And so instead of actually getting stuck, he was physically stuck, but he was never spiritually stuck. Because he trusted that the Lord was good and that the Lord had a plan. And that when the time came, he would get to see what that plan was.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, kind of jumping to that next point, I mean, there's a, I mean, we've talked about Paul a lot, and about him being stuck in prison. But I mean, one of my favorite books that he's written, one of my favorite chapters is Romans chapter 8. He asks a question in verse 35. He asks if anything could separate us from the love of Jesus. He asks that in 35, and then at the end of the chapter, I love when Paul does. He asks a question. It's always like that good, you know, teacher, professor, he asks a question. If you just wait long enough, he's going to answer the question for you. But I mean, in verses 38 and 39, he says, "For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will have the power to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." And so, I mean, reading that is such an encouragement. I mean, especially when we feel stuck because of something that we have done.
Right.
We feel separated. We feel stuck. We feel like whatever we're in, whether it's a sin or an emotional state or a mental state that we're stuck in, we feel like there's no way that I can get out of this. Like I'm too deep in this, but I mean, it's reassuring that it's, I mean, Paul says that for the love of God, there is nothing that can separate. I mean, and he lists some pretty big things and neither death nor life. I mean, he starts off pretty big.
Right.
Death nor life, or angels or rulers or things present or things to come, or powers or height or debt or any other created thing. I mean, I think that's important to see. It's like Paul literally listed every possible thing that he could think of. Yeah. Going through maybe Paul's mind, he's like, okay, what are some things that could potentially separate me from this love that Christ has for me? And he's like, I can't think of one thing that could separate us from him. And I mean, and that's super important to think about in this time of, I mean, what we're talking about being stuck is like anything that we could potentially be in. I mean, God's still going to love us the same.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, yeah. I think it's important to remember. I mean, we have to remember that Paul was literally chained at this point.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I was going to say. It's, we can read these words and just be like, oh yeah, that's Paul being Paul. But I would imagine that when he says neither life nor death, he's thinking of the moment that he encountered Jesus on the road to Damascus. And he was like, I know that you were dead, but here I am talking to you and you are very alive. And so he thinks of that and he thinks, life can't separate us from God. Death can't separate us from God. Angels or demons. He's thinking of like how, like one of my favorite stories in the Gospels is when Jesus casts the legion of demons into the herd of pigs and they go careening off of the cliff. Like that's the just
the sound effects for that are probably great, but neither here nor there.
I just always, think of the farmer like standing there going, what in the world is happening? Yeah. Neither here nor there. You're right. But just thinking of those moments where literally those were things that God had power over. They were not going to separate Paul from God's love because he knew through personal experience, through stories that he had heard from the disciples, that God had power over those things. I guarantee that he was scared, that he had worries about tomorrow, that he, like, these are all areas that he wasn't just saying, oh yeah, I'm just going to tell you that God's love, you can't be separated from it, and here's some areas. But he was thinking about specific areas in his life where he had come to know that he was not separated from God's love, even in these things. And that, like, that just makes it even more real that these are real life examples that God is literally not separated from us. His love is not separated from us, even when we feel like we're stuck in any of these things.
Yeah, because especially when he's writing this, it's towards the end of his, it's toward the end of his life. And so he's got a lot of stories and a lot of things to think through. It's like, he's just probably going through all of the things that have happened in his life. And it's like, wow, God has been with me through all of those crazy things and through all of those journeys and through all of those things. And it's like, and even though I'm probably getting ready to die here any time now.
Yeah.
But still, God is still showing so much love for me in those things.
Right. Yeah. This is a man, because I think we can often get caught in thinking that our sin, man, how could the Lord unstick me from this sin that I'm in? But when you go to the beginning of Paul's story, he is throwing Christians in jail. He's having Christians killed. Like this was no small bad guy. He was like he was the Thanos of Christian early churchdom. I know you would appreciate that comparison.
I do, and I've never thought of it that way, but now I'm going to always think of him that way. Wow.
But like, so when we think about the sin that we're stuck in, the Lord unstuck Paul when he was literally killing the church. And if he can do that for Paul, he can work in our hearts to unstick us from the sin that we're in.
Yeah. I mean, cause yeah, he's the worst of the worst. He's just trying to understand is that even in those times when I was doing all of those bad things, God is still loving me. He knew that this was not the path that he had for me. Yeah. This is not, he had greater things for me. It's like, I didn't know those at that time, but it's like, it's just, again, I'm thinking as if I was Paul. I mean, there's no way, but I mean, just thinking back and it's like, I can't believe that I came from that and that even in those times, God still loved me. And I think it's important for us is like, even if we're caught in, you know, something that, I mean, and, or maybe we don't even believe in this God or this Jesus that we're talking about, that even if we're there, like, we understand that God still loves us. God still loves that person. Even in our sin and our just awfulness of being humans in general, God still loves us for those, no matter what.
Yeah.
And so I think, I love that 38 and 39 is that nothing can separate us from the love of God, and from the love of Jesus. So maybe if you're listening right now and you're feeling stuck, maybe you feel alone, maybe I want you to understand, and I want you to hear those words that Paul's saying to us, is that you're not alone. You're not stuck. Even though you feel it, you're not stuck. Is that God loves you and he's with you. Even in this time of when the world is bonkers, the world is crazy, nothing makes sense. You know, we live hour by hour, day by day, sometimes kind of depending on where you're at. I mean, and we just don't know what to believe. We hear news, we hear all of this stuff that's going everywhere. But yeah. I think the one truth that we need to remember during this time of things being so fluid and not really understanding anything is that the one thing we need to understand is that God loves us.
Yeah.
No matter the thing that we're in, whether it's sin or emotional state or mental state or whatever, God still loves us for who we are.
Yeah.
And so is there anything else you want to say? Do you have any wise abisms or anything like that?
I mean, I don't know. We could spend hours just on 38 and 39, just chatting through it. Like, but
we can. I don't think anybody would want to listen to that.
No, they don't. But just those last words, revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Like, if you're looking for the way, like, how do I come to understand God's love? How do I come to understand that it's never failing? You just look to the cross.
Yeah.
And look to the sacrifice that Jesus made for you. Like, it wasn't something that he made and he was like, oh, I forgot about you. But he made that sacrifice with you in mind. And so if you're looking for a starting point on how can I come to understand God's love, like, just go to the end of the Gospels and read through the moment where Christ shed his blood because he loved you so deeply.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think so. Kind of what we've been doing as we get to the end of this is we've been issuing challenges for the students.
Yeah.
Don't make me remember what I challenged them. I challenge them all the time. But I do remember last week we challenged them to find a time, find the way to worship.
Yeah.
Find a way to worship this week. I think this week it's pretty self-explanatory. I think it's finding those ways that you feel stuck.
Yeah.
Trying to find a way out of those things. You know, and we talked a lot about how, you know, God is always going to be there for us, and not getting stuck in laziness of our spiritual lives, which, yeah. I mean, it can be easy. And right. So finding your way out of that stuckness, try to reach out to somebody if you feel stuck.
Mm-hmm.
There's people who you know who want the best for you and feel stuck. So I guess that's my challenge. It's a pretty easy challenge. If you feel stuck, don't feel stuck. Reach out, try to reach. I mean, if you're stuck, you're going to reach out anyways. But I mean,
yeah,
it's pretty easy. But so, and again, hey, I really appreciate you coming on.
Hey, this was fun.
Any last, like, good stories or anything that you can remember?
Oh man. Not, I know they're there. And sometime I'll share them with all of you because you need to hear them. So whenever I have,
he's just saving them yeah. for DNAT, for spring retreat.
Right.
Whenever we have it.
Whatever season retreat.
Whatever, yeah. Whatever season we're going to have it in.
Right.
He's saving them all.
I think we'll have to do a daily embarrassing story about Corey. That will need to happen.
As long as you don't have pictures, we're good. There's not very many pictures of me out there.
Yeah, but I think I probably do have a couple.
Yeah, there's not very many. I mean, I've done pretty well where I've kind of kept myself out of embarrassing pictures. There's stories. Stories are, again, you have to believe the person that's telling the story.
Right.
Pictures.
My name is Abe, so like obviously I'm very honest.
I don't think that's how that works, but...
That's what I've been telling myself for 28 years.
Is that what you're going to tell your daughter? It's like, you have to trust me. My name is Honest Abe.
She will probably just groan at me.
Probably.
Yeah.
But hey, I really do appreciate you coming on.
Yeah.
Thanks for having. Thanks for coming. Thanks for spending some time talking with students and hanging out. Of course.
Yeah, it was great to be with you guys, and I look forward to when I get to come hang out with you guys in person. But it's been fun to be with you for a little bit here through this format.
Hey guys, I just want to give a big thanks to Abe for coming on and just kind of talking with us about what it's like to be stuck, and how even in our stuckness, God can still use us, God still loves us, and that God always wants the best for us. Hey guys, I hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you here next week.
I'm not half the man I used to be. There's a shadow hanging over me. Oh, yesterday came suddenly. Why she had to go, I don't know, she wouldn't say. I said something wrong, now I long for yesterday. Love was such an easy game to play. I need a place to hide.